Let us pray to the Lord. May the words of my mouth and the meditation in our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah! Christ is risen. We began this series on the sign of the cross with an important commentary on the distinction between just crosses and crucifixes. There's definitely a difference. Crosses can mean all kinds of things. And while the crucifix might be misunderstood, it is hard to get around from what it exactly represents. Jesus died on the cross of Calvary. It happened. This is the stuff of real history. When our Lord was dying on the cross from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. on that first Good Friday, something very interesting happened at about 12 noon, high noon. The scriptures record there was darkness all over the land. And then at 3 p.m., when our Lord breathed his last, the scriptures say that there was an earthquake. The earth shook and the rocks were split. And this is where, if Matthew was in on a fabrication, a mythological tale, then this is where he surely blew it. Why did he have to go and include all of this other drama? Things that people could check into. Unless, of course, what he was recording actually happened. Yes, perhaps this is all about what is real, including Jesus really being with us today, right here, right now. And as for the darkness and the earthquake, ancient scholar Julius Africanus, writing around AD 221, referred to Thales, who wrote a history of the Eastern Mediterranean world from the Trojan War up to his own time. In a history Thales wrote about AD 52, about 20 years after Jesus died on the cross, Thales also dealt with a cosmic report that occurred during his lifetime in the land of Jesus' crucifixion. On the whole world, there pressed a most fearful darkness, and the rocks were rent by an earthquake, and many places in Judea and other districts were thrown down. How about that? Isn't that a coincidence? No, it is not. Thales is describing what the scriptures also recorded. It happened. But why all of this connected to the crucifixion? Last Sunday, among the wonderful 14 confessions of faith of our confirmands, Joshua Bradford compared the power of the Word of God contained in the water of holy baptism to be greater, as he put it, greater than the force of gravity, greater than an 8.0 magnitude earthquake, and greater than the power of electricity. Joshua reminded us that the power of the Word of God in holy baptism is the power that created the heavens and the earth. This is the power of the Word of Christ, which unites people to Jesus when they're baptized. And when this happens, they are flooded not merely by water, but flooded with the forgiveness of sins, flooded with the gift of eternal life. You, the baptized, have been flooded with eternal life because you're now clothed with the living Lord Jesus. Yes, the word is powerful, to put it mildly. These things point to the cross of Jesus, therefore, as a sign of power. Remember who Jesus was. Remember who Jesus is. He is the Word. The Word of God, who is all powerful. He was the one who created the heavens and the earth. It was the Word that went forth to create. Jesus spoke, and the universe came to be. And Jesus, the power of God unto salvation, he entered into death. We spoke of it night before last. When Jesus entered death on the cross of Calvary, it was as if a super virus had injected itself into the universal virus already in place called death. A superpower beyond all description entered into death. Death, which supposedly had the power to quell all other power. Not this time. The sign of the cross of Jesus includes the sign of power and of the victory over death. And this is why it's appropriate to speak of the sign of the cross even on Easter Sunday. Sometimes we Christians can get confused. It was on the cross that Jesus won our salvation. What could be more important than that, right? But it is the resurrection that we Christians call the pivotal event of the faith. So, St. Paul, he describes its crucial importance. It's so critical that in 1 Corinthians 15, Paul records that if Christ is not raised, we are to be pitied more than all men. We are still in our sins. So, what could be more important than this? So what are we to do as Christians as we try to share this with others? The cross and the empty tomb are not in competition. They are linked. They are forged. Because the Lord of life, the God of light, entered into the darkness of death, and there was only one result that could occur. Death had to give way. Death could not conquer him, but he conquered death. Result and the sign of power of the cross, the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the sign of power of the cross of Jesus. But let me remind you that of the most powerful signs, there are ensuing other signs. Of the sign of the crucifixion, there was darkness. A sign that the very Son of God, while on the cross, actually experienced separation from the Heavenly Father, who turned away from the Son to accept His Son taking upon Himself your curse and your sin. At that moment in time, the Son became the sin of the world, and the Father, who cannot look upon sin, turned away from His only begotten Son. And there was darkness. And while we are glad that our curse and our sin in the eyes of God are gone, at the time it was a terrible and horrific moment in time. The Father turning from His Son, treating Him as we deserved to be treated. This terrible separation of the Father and the Son was reflected in the agony of the cross and in the darkness. The sign of His death. 3 hours later was the earthquake. Something unimaginable had occurred. God in flesh died. The natural order that He had created had to react. And His power that invaded death had instantaneous results. Death was already being disrupted. The creation had to respond. These were signs of the sign. Jesus is living. This is our cause for celebration this day. This is the reality. This is the fact. He's alive. And these facts demand signs. The resurrection itself is a sign of power of the cross. That Jesus is invading death meant that death lost its power and lost its claim over you and me. But again, there must also be signs of the signs. What are they in 2015? We see some of them recorded in the book of Acts. Because of Christ having forgiven all sin and thereby conquered all death, there had to be other signs. Such power can't be hidden. As the Lutheran Study Bible states, Some interpreters treat Acts like mere history. However, the book of Acts may rightly be called the Acts of Jesus and the Holy Spirit. This is a great point. Since Christ arose, he didn't just disappear, nor was he confined to heaven. As the risen and ascended Lord, this was not in any way a description of any limitation, but much to the contrary, the description of God without limitation. So when the apostles were demonstrating signs of Christ's power, it was not their power, it was Jesus's. This is exactly true for anything that is good that might possibly come from this proclamation this morning, or anything good that came from Good Friday's proclamation, or anything good that came from Pastor Mueller's proclamation on Monday, Thursday. What is good, what is effective, what is beneficial, what is powerful, comes from the living Word, the Lord Jesus, who is risen from the dead, and never from mere men. Never. Luke opens his history with a significant clue as to what is going on in the book of Acts. Who is actually leading? In the first book, he notes, "I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach." The gospel story, Luke, is not simply an account of what Jesus did. It is a story of what he began to do. And its sequel in Acts records what Jesus continues to do. The risen Christ continues his ministry of salvation and restoration through the acts and works of his apostles. And the apostles, for their part, provide a stunning display of the truth behind Paul's statement, "It is no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me." The one who said, "This is my body, this is my blood," when he instituted that holy meal by which he comes among us and into us, continues to abide with us. The sure promise given to the apostles is our promise yet today. Where Christ and his cross are preached, there Christ himself is active. "Wherever two or three gather together in my name," says the Lord Jesus Christ, "I am there in their midst." There, his Spirit is present, calling, enlightening, sanctifying his people. Each of us has been given a walk-on role in the divine drama of salvation, but the Lord himself remains the actor with top billing. He acts in us, through us, and for us, even to the end of the age. Consider these scriptural examples of the signs of the living Christ acting and working through his servants. Don't let them get by you. It is an exciting and wondrous account in the book of Acts. Just a few examples. Acts 2:47. Let's read it together. "The Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved." Let me ask you a question now. Who was adding to their number? The Lord. Acts 3:6, let's read it together. "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." In whose name did that miracle occur? Jesus's. Acts 3:12, "Why do you stare at us as though by our own power or piety we made him walk?" Who made him walk? Jesus. Acts 3:16, we read together. "Jesus' name and the faith that is through Jesus has given the man this perfect health." Who gave that man perfect health? Jesus. Acts 4:10, we read together, "By the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you well." Acts 9:34, we read together, "Peter said to him, Aeneas, Jesus Christ heals you." Who healed him? Jesus Christ. Acts 11:21, "The hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number who believed turned to the Lord." Who causes the church to grow? Jesus. Again, signs of the sign are absolutely necessary. But I deliberately chose examples from the book of Acts to address what many of us wrestle with today. If the resurrection is a sign of power flowing from the cross, And if we see this sign of power through such dramatic examples as we just read from the Holy Bible, then what about now? Where is the power now? We want to know, right? Where is the power in the face of ISIS? Where is the power in the face of Christians who battle depression? Where is the power in the face of the rise of persecution of Christians throughout the world? Where is the power when our loved ones face disease, or perhaps when we do, as some of you might be facing today, even on Easter morning? Where's the power? Or is Easter Sunday just a mental pep rally for Christians who hold to archaic doctrines and old religious rites so as to make them feel spiritual? A desperate coping mechanism in a cold world that would make anyone a little irrational, perhaps. These are ideas that flow from those who know nothing of the continual power and the continual signs that still to this day flow from the one-time event of Jesus' crucifixion and Jesus' glorious resurrection. The signs must come out. They must radiate. They are inevitable, but they are signs that are nevertheless controlled by God. And He refuses to use the world's standard of power when that world rejects Him. For a short time, He permitted the signs we read about in the book of Acts. They served a purpose. The church had to be established not only among God's original chosen people, the Jews, but also the non-Jews, the Gentiles. There could be no doubt that the saving gospel was and is and will be always for all people. When our Lord died on Calvary's cross, the scriptures say that it was for the sins of the world. Everyone, every single person, regardless of their background, their ethnicity, their orientation, all people are covered by the blood of the Lamb. All people have received the forgiveness of sins. There is no one more inclusive than God. He created all people. He died for all people. He forgives all people. He now calls all people to have faith. Believe in Christ who conquered death. Believe in Christ who rose from the grave and demonstrated the sign of power. Believe in Christ so that when you die, you will not be separated from the one who gives eternal life. So the signs given in Acts were indeed Jesus' acts, but for a time and for a purpose. For the gospel to establish a universal church, the church for all people. This is not to say that God no longer works miracles. He is the God of miracles. He can do them whenever He wants to. That's not the problem. Our problem are the sinful expectations that we form, sometimes without even realizing it. We want God to perform miracles without thinking about the consequences. Mary and Martha must have been overwhelmed with joy for their brother Lazarus, who was restored to life. Can you imagine? What would that be like? For that loved one that we miss every single day of our lives to come up to be restored. How happy we would be. But Lazarus would die again. How many times would we have someone we love die again? What do we ask for? What do we want? So in mercy, my dear Christians, God directs the signs which must flow from the cross and the empty tomb. They're not lesser signs. They're not consolation prize signs. but true to form, the Lord of glory gives signs that are best, the most meaningful, the most lovely, the most beneficial for you and me. The living Lord Jesus Christ gives three signs that we know from His Word to show you that He's living and to demonstrate His love for you, so that while it is still day, you would either come to trust in Him for the first time, or so that you would be enabled to continue to trust in Him. It's always about salvation for every single one of us here today. And for those who are not yet in possession of saving faith, do not be distracted by the silly qualifiers that some people say, even in the name of Christianity, that you must do X, Y, and Z in order to receive saving faith. No, you don't. Hear the gospel. Jesus lived and died and rose for you. Jesus destroyed your death. Jesus covered your sin with His life-giving blood. And Jesus rose from the grave, accomplished action for the forgiveness of all your sins and the gift of everlasting life. The gospel is a done deal. Believe it and be saved. And for those who already have saving faith, don't be distracted by the silly stuff either. Taking your faith for granted, or being tempted to think that you need the gospel less. Tempted to rest on your laurels. No way, no how. You need the gospel today as much as you ever did. In fact, you might need it more because of your complacency. Hold to the signs. We need those signs. They bring us life. They keep us alive. What are they? Here they are. The first sign. The risen Lord Jesus Christ preaches. That's what He chooses to do today. This is not theory for me. I have seen the results of His preaching in the lives of people for 25 years, and it continues to blow me away. And when I was in my most vulnerable time in the hospital after my panic thing a year and a half ago, I heard preaching from Pastor Mueller, and it lifted my soul. This is the sign. Leading up to this service and in this past year, how many sermons have you heard? You have called us to preach the full counsel of God, and we are, by the grace of God, determined to be faithful to that call. We can't cram it all in one sermon once a year. If the preacher is faithful to the Word, then when that preacher preaches, whoever he is, that sermon is not his sermon. It's Jesus's. Of all the things you can do with your time and with your money, what do you do with this most invaluable commodity? If you choose to go to Disneyland, for example, you're going to spend about $100 for a single ticket, and you'll stand in some very long lines. Congratulations as you get a sunburn at the happiest place on earth. If you come to church without even necessarily putting a penny in the offering plate, and the pastors don't get into that, you can receive the Word of Christ, more powerful than death, enter your ears, your heart, your mind. You will receive the forgiveness of your sins anew. You will receive eternal life anew. You will be further equipped in the Word. You will contribute to the family of faith by encouraging fellow Christians and supporting the most important mission on planet Earth, to share the love of God through the saving gospel to all. He preaches to this day, to the rich and to the poor, a way that's fully accessible. He is here. When I think about the effects of preaching, the latest Jesus movie that came out this past year, we saw it with some of the youth. I saw it with Kathy Ackley and some of the youth. There's a scene when Jesus is preaching to Matthew. His life had gotten away from him, and he became, as a tax collector, a robber. And his heart had become hardened, and he was living in desperation. And Jesus came preaching to him, and he forgave him, and he restored him. And in that movie, my favorite scene in that movie was the face of Matthew. "You're calling me after all I've done? Yes, Matthew, I'm calling you." The second sign: the risen Lord Jesus Christ intercedes. And this is why you have complete assurance that your prayers are heard. Not necessarily always answered the way you want them to, but always heard for good. Johann Gerhard, in his Meditations on Divine Mercy, elaborates as to why you can have complete assurance that when you pray, your prayers are heard and answered by God according to His good will. You know this quite simply because in Jesus, the risen Christ, who is praying for you, Gerhard, "we are assured that God favorably hears our prayers on account of Christ's intercession as our mediator. He is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us, who is our advocate with the Father. What will the Heavenly Father deny to His beloved Son? What will our gracious Savior not obtain by the power and merit of His satisfaction accomplished for us? The shrine of heaven stands open to Him. Christ delivers our prayers into the secret counsel of God. Will the Father not hear Him? Will He refuse anything to Him? Will He not hear Himself? Will He refuse Himself anything? The Father and the Son are one. The Son is at the Father's side. The Father is in Christ, and Christ is in the Father. Christ, our intercessor, says to the Father, 'I knew that you always hear me.' If Christ was heard by the Father while He walked on earth as God in flesh, appearing in weakness and in the state of humiliation, the Father will certainly now hear Christ, who is now in the state of exaltation, as He rules in all the glory of His majesty, as He exercises the full measure of His power." Unquote. He's alive and He's interceding for you. God prays for you. You are in the most immaculate win-win situation imaginable. And know the battle. Scripture makes it plain. Our flesh, the world, and the evil one want to convince us, "I'm not in a win-win. Look at my life. How can you say that?" We do not walk by faith. We walk. We do not walk by sight. We walk by faith. The third sign: the risen Lord Jesus Christ is in control of all things. He is the King of Kings, and as Michael Panichi outlined in his confirmation statement of faith last Sunday — these kids were amazing — "He is the King of the kingdom of power, the kingdom of grace, the kingdom of glory. In summary, He's the King of all." Soak in this truth. Nothing, absolutely nothing, can stop the promise that God has made for you. All things, not a few things, not some things, not many things, not most things, all things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to His purpose. The risen Christ is quite simply in control, and not in order to brag about His power, but in order to bless His people who hold to Him in faith, in order to bless you. See the sign of His cross. See the sign of His power. See the sign of His resurrection. He is alive to bless you. See the signs. Know his power. You are forgiven all your sins. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And now nothing can take you from the hands of God. He is alive forever. And because you are joined to him, this is what baptism and communion are for. Then you are alive forever. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus until he comes again in glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Alleluia! Christ is risen! We stand to confess our faith. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of God.
And he will
come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins.
And I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Let us pray.
O Lord, have mercy.
O Christ, have mercy.
O Lord, have mercy.
Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, hear us. Hath the Lamb who was offered for us and has taken away the sin of the world,
have mercy on us.
Who was crucified for our transgressions and raised for our justification,
have mercy on us.
Who foretold your passion, saying, the Son of Man must be crucified and on the third day rise again,
have mercy on us.
Who destroyed death by dying, and by rising to life again has brought life and immortality to light,
have mercy on us.
Whose resurrection was first announced by an angel to the women,
have mercy on us.
Who appeared to Mary Magdalene and was worshipped by her,
have mercy on us.
Who revealed yourself to the two disciples on the Emmaus Road, and made yourself known to them in the Scriptures and in the breaking of the bread,
have mercy on us.
Who appeared to the disciples, bestowing on them your peace and your spirit,
have mercy on us.
Who showed your wounded hands and side to the Apostle Thomas, that he too might believe,
have mercy on us.
Who appeared to seven disciples on the Sea of Tiberias, bringing a miraculous catch of fish,
have mercy on us.
Who appeared to Peter and to the 12, to over 500 disciples, to James and to all the apostles, and to Paul on the Damascus Road,
have mercy on us.
Who commissioned your church to make disciples of all nations, by baptizing and teaching them,
have mercy on us.
By your glorious resurrection from the dead,
good Lord, deliver us.
By your victory over sin and death,
good Lord, deliver us.
By the majesty of your risen body,
good Lord, deliver us.
We poor sinners implore you
to hear us, Lord Jesus,
that we may daily die and rise with you in our baptism, and walk in the freedom of your forgiveness.
Grant us, good Lord,
we may set our minds on things above and not on earthly things, serving as we have been served by you.
Grant us, good Lord,
that we may dwell with you forever in the new creation as citizens of the heavenly Jerusalem, together with all the saints.
Grant us, good Lord.
Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world,
have mercy on us.
Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world,
have mercy on us.
Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world,
grant us your peace.
O Lord,
have mercy.
O Christ,
have mercy.
O Lord,
have mercy. Amen. Carl voluntary, we will receive the offering. We also ask you to please prepare for the Holy Sacrament by reading and signing one of the communion worship cards in front of you. We have them throughout the rows of chairs. All who share with us a common confession that the true body and true blood of our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, is given to us in with and under the bread and the wine for the forgiveness of sins, come forth to receive this sacrament in great joy as you receive the risen Christ. If you're still learning about the faith, if you still have questions about the sacrament, we still invite you to come forward, but simply cross your arms and bow your head that we may give you a blessing at this time, and know that we're eager to share more with you about our teaching on the sacrament. Please hand your card to the usher. Thank you.
Right and safe. salutary, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God. And most especially are we bound to praise you on this day for the glorious resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, the very Paschal Lamb who was sacrificed for us and bore the sin of the world. By his dying, he has destroyed death, and by his rising again, he has restored to us everlasting life. Therefore, with Mary Magdalene, Peter and John, and with all the witnesses of the resurrection, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth, to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers. Deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it. Remembrance of me."
The peace of the Lord be with you always.